At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Forensic Science Ireland has recently opened its brand new forensic lab in the Back Western campus just outside Selbridge in County Kildare. It's a 100 million euro lab and headquarters, and it's now the most advanced in all of Europe. To talk to us about the latest developments is Director General of Forensic Science Ireland, Chris Enright. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, where were you before you went to Selbridge?
So, It's a really exciting time for us in Forensic Science Ireland. We'll be 50 years old.
Okay.
Next year. We'll be celebrating our 50-year anniversary. And for almost all of that time, we've been based in laboratories at the back of Garda headquarters in the Phoenix Park. So we're in the middle of a complex transition. Obviously, we have to maintain the services to the criminal justice system as we move over and go through the process of commissioning laboratories, setting up instrumentation, validation, and ultimately achieving accreditation for each forensic service in the new lab.
All right. Now, what do you do? What's your job? What are the activities of Forensic Science Ireland?
So ultimately, Pat, our mission is to provide a comprehensive scientific service to the criminal justice system through objective, independent scientific analysis, advice and evaluation to the very best international standards. That's our job. We provide a range of services that include DNA and biological analysis, physical analysis and chemical analysis. Most of our work is laboratory based, but we do offer a service from crime scene to court.
Yep.
On occasions, we attend crime scenes and provide expertise in blood pattern analysis, or we'll give advice on how particular drug seizures, for example, should be sampled. We processed over 22,000 investigations over the course of last year across those three functional areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we attended court to defend that evidence on multiple occasions over the course of the year.
So we see this on the telly, you know, when you get dramas and the forensic scientist is put in the box and then they try to undermine the credibility of the scientist or the processes that were used. Is that real life?
Certainly the adversarial nature of providing evidence in court is certainly true. Our job in Forensic Science Ireland is to provide objective, independent evidence and present it warts and all. That's our job. We don't present it with bias. Our job is to make sure it's presented as independent and rooted in scientific evidence. Yeah. That's our job.
Now, the equipment that you have,
yeah,
the facilities that you have, they're now state of the art. Is it true what I said at the beginning that this is better probably than anything else in Europe?
It is. And we've been able to achieve that really by being part of forensic networks across Europe. So we're part of the European Network of Forensic Science Institutes. The role there is to make sure we're aware of best practices and contributing to best practice development and scientific development across the forensic community in Europe. OPW have designed this building, and both OPW and ourselves in FSI had the opportunity through those networks to visit labs across the world. We've been able to learn from the experiences of other laboratories and how they've gone about designing their buildings.
So the idea is not to have to reinvent the wheel entirely.
Exactly, exactly. The whole approach here is to be to learn from other organisations, bring best design standards and practices to the table, and then design the best lab that we can.
Now, your personnel, where do they come from?
So all our personnel are based in, well, We're in the middle of a transition. They were based in Garda headquarters in Dublin. Yeah,
but I mean, their qualifications and so on, where do they train to do this job?
So the starting point, Pat, is a level 8 qualification on the National Framework of Qualifications in a scientific area. That could be in biology, physics, chemistry.
A primary degree, mathematics, first of all.
A primary degree, first of all. And then to get a job in Forensic Science Ireland as a scientist, you need a level 8, a level 7 qualification for an analyst. And we also recruit a whole range of other support roles to support the organisation, including IT, for example. To get a job, you go through a selection process, including an interview, where we look at things like your communication skills, your scientific knowledge.
Part of the job would be to go to court. You're going to be put under pressure by some fast-talking lawyer, and you've got to be able to hold your own.
Yes. Now, we do provide comprehensive training in expert witness testimony, in going to court. It's, you know, dealing with an adversarial system won't necessarily come naturally to everybody.
Sure.
So you need comprehensive training and support and also mentoring and how to go about doing that. The most important thing is a really strong qualification in scientific background. We're a scientific organisation, and people will need to call on their scientific knowledge and continue to develop it on an ongoing basis to do their job. So that's the most critical thing.
Now, DNA is no longer in its infancy. It's becoming more and more sophisticated all the time. And there are new technologies that allow DNA identification that might not have been possible years ago and therefore can be applied to historical situations.
That's correct, Pat. So if you go back 25 years ago when Forensic Science Ireland first started DNA profiling, you needed a blood sample the size of a 2-cent coin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so a fairly significant amount. At this point, you just need, you know, between 5 and 10 cells, so picograms of DNA in order to be able to really...
So you might, for example, someone thinks they've scrubbed themselves clean, but there might be almost an invisible spot of blood that or saliva that could give you what you need.
Blood, saliva, or another rich source of DNA is our skin cells. So even touching the table in your studio here is going to transfer some DNA from myself onto your studio bench. So that's often the case. There's developments in the actual DNA technology itself. So there's more and more powerful DNA sequencing and profiling technologies available now. Ultimately, some of this is down to how many locations you look at on the human genome. 25 years ago, when FSI first started, we were looking at just 6 locations. We're now looking at 17 as part of our normal forensic activity. And we've invested recently in next generation sequencing technology that will allow us to look at far more regions of the genome and really help us increase the possibility of identifying people, even more distant relatives.
So if, for example, in the exhumations in the mother and baby home in Tuam, where there might be precious little available, you can use these techniques now to possibly find a blood relative.
That's correct, Pat. We've also looked at mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is passed down through the maternal line, and the great thing about it is multiple copies of that DNA are available in the cell. So even in highly degraded samples, such as degraded bones, for example, that might be buried for many, many years, the chances of recovering useful DNA that's available for comparison purposes are increased significantly.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Now, we heard over the weekend about the number of people who were stopped at checkpoints and they were found to be over the limit for drug or alcohol use. Do you come into that process?
Not specifically for we don't look at samples from individuals. That's typically done by the Medical Bureau of Road Safety for alcohol or drug consumption while driving. So there's a different agency that looks at that. About half of our submissions into Forensic Science Ireland every year are drugs offences. And we've seen three things really over the last number of years that are have changed. One is the size and scale of seizures. Another is the range of different materials and new psychoactive substances that have been found. And the third is the variation in how they're actually presented or concealed. So it remains a very, very dynamic market.
And in terms of offences, you know, when you've got so many materials that can have these hallucinogenic effects or whatever it might be, do they have to outlaw each one, or can they outlaw them by virtue of their effect rather than their constituents?
Yeah, so there's it's very interesting what's happening at the minute with the synthetic drug market. So we've seen an increase in the number of synthetic cannabinoids. So these are a substance that will mimic the effect of THC, the natural occurring product in cannabis plant, on the brain. We've also seen a lot of synthetic opioids. So over the last number of months in particular, we've seen a number of nitazenes.
What are they, nitazenes?
Nitazenes are synthetic opioids that can be as potent, if not more potent, than fentanyl. You'll have heard about the occurrence of fentanyl in the US, which has had devastating consequences there. So what we're seeing more in Europe is an alternative form of synthetic opioid. They're structurally unrelated to fentanyls. Yeah. They're typically manufactured in illicit labs in Asia and transferred across on land into Europe. So we've seen there's a high number of different compounds, slight differences chemically, are different isomers of these substances.
But are they all outlawed they're, by category, if you like?
No, unfortunately not. The reality is it takes some time before you can actually identify a substance and add it to the list of controlled substances. And the it's a very lucrative market for the drugs industry. So the pace of change and how many variants that they can actually come up with of these substances and introduce into the market is quicker than how you know.
Yeah, by the time law enforcement and governments get it.
There is an alternative where we can prosecute under the Psychoactive Substances Act, but under the Misuse of Drugs Act, you really have to have a named substance.
So you have to actually know what you're looking for and outlaw it before you can nail someone on
that. There's two different paths. You can add it to a control list of substances, which takes some time, or it can be prosecuted under the Psychoactive Substances
Act. And what does that allow, that prosecution? What is the, if you like, the charge?
There's a specific act under if you're in possession or if you're distributing a substance under the Psychoactive Substances Act, it can carry similar penalties.
Okay, but you don't have to name it in that case.
No.
If it's a psychoactive substance and it's not licensed for use by a medical practitioner or whatever, then you can charge someone under that act.
It'll need to be certified by a professional as a psychoactive substance. So it does require some certification. But it doesn't need to be actually named.
How many people work in Forensic Science Ireland?
So we have 215 people working for us at the minute. The great thing about the new building is that it gives us capacity to grow significantly. So we're looking to grow to about 250 staff or so over the next couple of years. And we need that. The demand for services has pretty much doubled over the last number of years. So we're going to need to grow to support the various demands in front of us.
And as far as you're concerned, you are state of the art. All the stuff we see on television, forensic science working at crime scenes and so on, all of that is available to you.
Yeah, so what you see on TV often is science fiction, touch of a button, you get the magic result without the painstaking trace evidence recovery analysis and evaluation. So that often isn't represented. What we have in our new building, it provides us the building technology to support technology expansion. We've got 32 state-of-the-art search rooms that are specifically designed to the latest standards for trace evidence recovery and analysis. We've got capacity to expand both laboratory space, staff and collaboration space. Integration of information is ever more important, and this building certainly provides that for us.
I'm just wondering how many times over the years, because you were in the buildings at the back of Garda headquarters, that lawyers would have challenged you to say, how can you assure us that there is no contamination of this evidence?
Those questions certainly have been asked, and we've had to robustly defend it through operational procedures, controls.
It should be easier with the new building, with its customised design. It should be easier to rebut those things.
So for sure, what we have is a building that has the concerns or some of the risks associated with forensic science activity designed, really considered from a design point of view, which is really, really important. However, we're still defending cases from analytical work that's been done in Garda headquarters and have preserved our operational controls and protocols and cleaning regimes and standards to make sure the evidence we're producing there is still robust.
Well, exciting times for Forensic Science Ireland and its Director General, Chris Enright. Chris, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.